Let us pray. Now, O God, through your Holy Spirit, stir in us and awaken us to your leading, that we might grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've said before that through the parables, Jesus leaves us with questions, deep questions, leading questions that keep gnawing at us well after we read or hear the story. And as we go through life and changing circumstances, some of those same questions come back again and again with new importance. Notice in his ministry, Jesus tells stories. Rather than a formal lecture about right and wrong decisions and principles of ethics and a philosophical decision and an essay or a treatise, he told stories. Well, people like stories. We like stories, because we get involved in stories, and they take us into a different world. In the case of the parables, they take us into the world of the kingdom of God and its values. And they face us with decisions about how we will live our lives in tension with the world in which we live every day. Well, this parable is yet another in which Jesus wants to learn some lessons from the real world about how the new age of God's kingdom works. And because the real world is always changing, the questions and the decisions continue. Also, to get a hold of this parable, if we can, we have to put it in the context of the Gospel of Luke's portrayal of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Because in reading through chapters 9 through 18 of Luke, we encounter parable after parable, which are found only in the Gospel of Luke, not the other Gospels at all. All of those parables seeking to open us to the, what I call the here-ness and the now-ness of the kingdom of God as experienced through the reality of Jesus' life and ministry. That reality is there not just through his words and his teaching, it's there in how he lives and the people he associates with and what he does in their midst. He is the living reality of the kingdom right there in their midst. And he's constantly inviting people to open their minds and their eyes and their hearts to that reality. Now, all of that said, I confess that this parable leaves me confused and puzzled. How about you? If so, you're in good company, because it even left the gospel writer puzzled and wondering, which is why at the end of the story he offers three different sayings, which probably circulated as a list of sayings of Jesus, and he sort of attached them to this parable to offer some possible interpretations of this very puzzling story. Because the story raises a lot of questions. Here are some of the questions this parable provokes in me. What is God trusting us with? How well are we managing that trust? Is Jesus commending dishonesty? Why does the master who has been cheated commend the steward for his shrewdness? What's that about? What does shrewdness have to do with the life of faith? How many masters do we serve? And what does that do to us and the world around us? What does it mean to be faithful? And always, how does this parable make a difference for you and me as Jesus followers in the here and now in Amherst, New York, in 21st century America? It's an important question, because if it has no meaning for this world in which you and I live, maybe it's simply a museum piece we can put on the shelf and forget. Now, some of these questions may remain unanswered. There's no ribbon that can be tied around this parable or other parables so it can be wrapped up and tucked away in a neat package. Ah, I've got it. That's the lesson. But that's okay, because that's how a parable works. It is supposed to shake our tendency to define a single meaning and thereby protect ourselves from the decisions it challenges us to make. It is intended to eat away at us over and over and over in light of the real choices that we have to make as we seek to live faithfully in our world. To turn to the parable, it's time for an accounting. The manager has been called on the carpet by his master, who has trusted him to manage his accounts. He's called him in because word had reached him that the manager has been squandering the accounts. By the way, the word squandering in this parable is the identical Greek word that's used for the son who wandered away from his father and squandered his resources, using resources for his own interests and not for the master's interests. So, since he knows he's going to be fired, the manager cuts deals with each of the master's debtors and reduces the amount owed on the loans. Since he's done them a favor, he knows he'll be able to depend on them when he's out of work and in need of some friends. A shrewd move. But here's the twist in the story that leaves us wondering. The master compliments the manager because of his shrewdness. Nothing at all is said about cheating the master out of what's owed him. Then Jesus draws a contrast. The children of light need to be just as shrewd in their faith decisions and their relationship with God as the children of this world are with their money and wealth management. The children of light, the ones who know the revelation of God, who follow the law of God, who have been squandering that, using it for their own interests rather than for the interests of God, they need to be as shrewd as this dishonest manager in managing their relationships with God. Is Jesus condoning dishonesty here? I listen to the Jazz FM station from Toronto every day for the music. And every afternoon at about 4:30, Brian Snelson, an investment advisor to a Toronto investment firm, presents a market report and an analysis of the day's activities so that listeners with investments can make understand what's going on and they can make prudent, perhaps even shrewd decisions about their money and their accounts. And Jesus' question in contemporary language, as prudent managers of God's investment of Christ's love and service in our lives, and Christ's love and grace, are we giving as careful even as shrewd attention to the critical issues and concerns of the time and the changes around us in the time in which we live, so that the beloved community of God will be a living reality for the community in which we live, this community? Are we shrewdly assessing the consequences of decisions that will make a difference for God's eternal values of compassion and justice and care for the least and the excluded? Do we listen to what's going on around us and make very careful and shrewd decisions about it? As shrewd as those made by an investment manager with our 401k and our retirement accounts and our certificates of deposit? Do we think about our faith as rigorously as we think, and as disciplined a way as we think about those investments? Isn't that the question here that we're being asked? Joachim Jeremias, a scholar of the parables, writes, "The steward did not let things take their course. He acted unscrupulously, no doubt, though we are not concerned with that, but boldly, resolutely, and prudently with the purpose of a new life for himself. For you, too, the challenge of the hour demands prudence. Everything is at stake. It's about deciding for the new life and preparing ourselves and living into it, because everything is at stake. For the unjust steward, as he has been known through biblical history, he recognized the reality of his immediate situation and, in assessing his future, took action that enabled him to make friends in all the right places. He was commended for his shrewdness in doing what was necessary to secure his future." What about our shrewdness in our actions and decisions for our present and future in Christ? By our actions, will we make friends in all the right places for God and in fulfillment of God's living presence in our world, as revealed and lived in the love of Jesus Christ? Amen.